was going through the middle part of the state. He was coming back from a drive across the country. So he's driving west, and it's getting close to evening. And apparently, he hit somebody, and that person died. But he's in a big 18-wheeler, and apparently he didn't really know it. And anyway, but he was arrested. And so now he's in jail. And I think, actually, even today, he's still waiting trial. So it's a really sad deal, and I don't know all the circumstances, but what I do know is that occasionally he'll write a letter of what his experience is like in jail. Not prison, but jail, right? You know there's the distinction. You're in jail while you're waiting for a trial, et cetera, and then eventually you could go to prison. So this is while he's in jail, which is not an easy time. And this is like in the middle of Oklahoma. And he writes about what it is like for him to be there. Now, he could take a mindset, and I'm sure it's been incredibly difficult, of just, woe is me. This is not something that I was really involved in a sense, in that I didn't know that I had hit this person and I had killed them, and here my life is all turned upside down, and you just kind of sit around and you could just complain. But he doesn't do that. And he owns, and so in the letter, he owns the fact that, no, I understand that I committed this crime and I don't know what my future is. But while I'm here, and this is what his letter reflects, I'm going to minister. And so he talks about ministering to these two men from Mexico who are also in jail. They're young. And he talks about having prayer time with them and having Bible studies with them. And talking about life issues and helping them think through things. And he just goes on and on and on in his letter of what it is like, in essence, to recognize that, yeah, life for him has been turned upside down. But instead of just being so oriented towards the past and how much he misses the past, and rightfully so, he's looking for ways of serving his Savior in a manner that is consistent with the redemptive story. And when I read the letter and I thought, man, how hard this would be, I also asked myself, you know, if I were in those circumstances, would I just be about fighting the system and somehow trying to get out of it and through it type of thing? Or would I also have these redemptive purposes? We have a limited time. We don't know how long on this side of heaven. We do know the Lord has called his people, his church, to engage in the world for the sake of the gospel. It is possible that we have defined life in a way that isn't helpful. It is possible that we are very much oriented towards a memorial view only. Not that we exclude that, but when that becomes sort of our guiding star, it's possible that we have idols that we're not willing to recognize. It's possible that we haven't really owned the spiritual warfare that's there. And it is possible that we haven't really died to self. And yet through the gospel, as we go before the Lord and we're quiet, sort of like Psalm 131, my heart is not proud, Lord, my eyes are not haughty, I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me, but I've quieted and calmed my soul. So my prayer for you is that as you think about 2023 and 2024, that it will be with a gospel challenge. Pray with me. Father in heaven, thank you for giving us this time of worship. And we do thank you for Peter's life and his ministry. And we pray, Lord, that as we reflect upon what Matthew has provided for us here, that your Holy Spirit, again, would be at work within our lives and that you would continue to teach and guide us. We ask and pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Will you please stand with me as we sing the next hymn, hymn number 252, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. Thank you.
Beloved in Christ, let us now confess our faith as we come, as we respond to God's word and come to the Lord's table. In the words of Luther's Small Catechism, as you see in your bulletin, beloved in Christ, what is it that you believe? I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord, or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me through the gospel, enlightened me by his gifts, and sanctified and preserved me in the true faith, just as he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth, and preserves it in union with Jesus Christ in the one true faith, in which Christian church he daily forgives richly all my sins, and the sins of all believers, and will raise up me and all the dead at the last day, and will grant everlasting life to me and all who believe in Christ. This is most certainly true. Amen. Please be seated. As you heard in God's word being preached, we are to deny ourselves, to die to the self. And of course, you get a picture of that every Lord's Day. That this is the kingdom that you're a part of, that our Savior, who will come in triumph and destroying his enemies and so forth, is doing that now spiritually and will do it physically. But for right now, it's spiritual. And so you are called to follow Christ, and we rejoice in that. On the one hand, we're believers by God's grace. He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world, and we need to be in the world and follow our great Savior. Amen. Amen. But following that great Savior until we are with him in glory, and ultimately, until he comes again, this is a picture of our lives. It's a glorious picture. It's a privilege. It's an honor to follow Christ. But in this world, the way we follow Christ and the way that we're salt and light in the world is through suffering. And you can see why Peter was having a problem with that. As I've said many times, you know, the disciples, anyone around Christ would have said, you're a lousy leader. I mean, what are we going to put in the brochure? Come and join our great throng and die. But, of course, we need to have that perspective that this is a glorious thing. We are called to be salt and light and blessings, and the way that we do that is to live Christ-like lives, dying to the self, caring more for others than we do for ourselves, and all of those images, all through Scripture. You could start with Abraham and then Joseph and go down the line, and almost all these things are, we would have said to the person who planned, are you crazy? Okay, Paul, the great apostle, he's going to reach Caesar and his troops. Great! How's he going to do that? In prison. Prison? Where did you study strategy? But it's a glorious calling. Richard Baxter said, when it comes to truly, when we are called to really die, it's not a problem if we've died every day. And I'm not saying that's easy. I struggle with that just like you do. But this is the picture of our glory. This is how much God